Matthew chapter 27, and I want to read one verse, and then I want to move to the book of Mark and read a verse, and then I want to move to the book of Luke and read a verse. But in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51, the Bible says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent." And then in Mark chapter number 15 and verse number 38, the Bible says, "And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom." And then in Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 45, and the Bible says, "And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst." Our Heavenly Father, as we bow today, God, we're thankful for the privilege to be in your house. Thankful, Lord, for all that has taken place thus far. Thank you, Lord, for the messages, Lord, we've already heard this morning in the Sunday school hour, the opening, and Lord, the Sunday school lesson. Thank you, Father, for every song. Thank you for every time of fellowship that we've had thus far. And now, Lord, we come to you at this hour. And Lord, we trust that, Lord, you would move in our midst again. And God, that the word of the Lord would go forth in its power. For Lord, we know it's sharper and quicker than any two-edged sword. Lord, I pray that the word of God would abound in every heart, Lord, as we hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. Father, I pray you'd speak to hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would deal with hearts, especially that one, Lord, that's lost without the Lord Jesus. Lord, that today will be the day they'll be saved. And God, may you stir the hearts of your children. And Lord, may we be excited about that which the Lord has done in our lives. And Lord, what is yet to come, because we are the children of God. Help us this morning, Lord. We need your touch. We need the anointing of the Spirit of God. I pray that, Lord, you'd fill us with your Spirit. And Lord, that you would have your way here, Lord, the remainder of this service. And we'll thank you for what's done in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach this morning from these three different passages of Scripture. But yet as we read these three different passages of Scripture, all of the writers have mentioned the same thing. And that is the renting of the veil of the temple. And I want to preach this morning on why the veil of the temple was rent. You know, I believe that everything that took place that day around the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is significance in each thing that is mentioned in the Bible. Amen. And here is one of the things that has always seemingly got my attention every time I read it and studied it, about the veil of the temple, how it was rent. And the Bible said that it was rent from the top to the bottom. Amen. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Now, as we think about the veil of the temple this morning, and each one of the gospel writers, all but John didn't mention it, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they did all three mention the veil of the temple. Anytime something's mentioned one time, I think it's important in the Bible. But if it's mentioned three times, God really must want us to see something concerning that which he has preserved for us in his word. And so as we think about the veil of the temple, before I get into thought about why the veil of the temple was rent, I want you to look at some reasons, first of all, for the veil being in place in the temple by way of introduction. Well, we find that the veil was there, number one, because of sovereignty. God had dictated and mandated that there be a partition between the holy and the most holy place. And friend, that's what the Bible tells us. If you go back in the Old Testament and you begin to study the temple and all the things, I mean, it was an extravagant layout. And God gave to Moses exactly how everything was supposed to be. And then this veil was to be made in a particular way with a particular colors. And it was to be made in a certain way and hung a certain way and hung in a certain place. In Exodus chapter 26 and verse 37, in the latter portion of that verse, it says, "The veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy." And so the veil of the temple was put there to divide. It was a divider from the holy place from the most holy place. And behind that veil was the Ark of the Covenant. And inside that Ark of the Covenant, of course, was the Ten Commandments that was given to Moses by God. And they were inside that Ark along with manna and some other things. And on top of the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat. And on the mercy seat on each side there were cherubims that were facing in. And it was there on the mercy seat in the holy place, the most holy place, that God met with the priest once a year. And it was there that once a year the priest would go into that most holy place and take an offering for the sins of the people. Thank God, and God would meet with them there. And for 1 year their sin would be covered. And so the veil was there to separate and to keep those away from the most holy place. But aren't you glad the Bible lets us know something in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse number 14. That veil that was put up as a partition, as a divider from the keeping the people from in the most holy place. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:14, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Thank God, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, it gives us a freeway into the Lord himself, amen, into the most holy place. Thank God, can we go because of what Christ has done. But the veil was there because of sovereignty. God had dictated and commanded that veil to be put up. Number two, it was there because of separation. Man was and had been separated from a one-on-one relationship and eternal immortal existence from God since his fall in the garden. Immediately after man's sin and separation, God, he was separated from God by a veil, if you will, this morning, that restricted his access to God. And we find this account in Genesis 3:24. The Bible said, "So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Friend, I want you to know, from the very moment man sinned, God separated himself from man because of sin. And that separation continued. Even when they built the temple, God put the veil there to separate, amen, himself from sinful man. Oh, listen, friend. The veil was there because of a sovereign God. It was there because of separation. And then it was there because of sins. We've already talked about this a little bit. But the veil was there because our sins had separated us from having a one-on-one communion with God. You see, nobody just could walk into the temple and go into the presence of God. That was not allowed because of that veil that was there. And it was because of man's sin. Amen. But listen, friend, the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." And so the veil was there because of sin, amen. But then it was there because of a system. God had ordained a system from the Garden of Eden throughout the wilderness in the tabernacle, and then into Solomon's temple. And this religious system that was in place stated that man could not approach God without a representation, without a mediator, or an acceptable offering. Amen. Oh, listen. And so we can see that God was separated from sinful man based upon a system that God himself had ordained. And only one thing could change that. Only one event could change everything. And that event happened, praise be to God, on a place called Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for the sins of the world. That was the only event that could change the system God had put into place from the very beginning. Amen. Oh, and that's where we come this morning, where the system was changed in Matthew chapter number 27. Notice what the Bible said. Look at verse 50, if you will. When Jesus had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, he died. And immediately after he died, the Bible said, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. The graves were open. Many bodies of the saints which slept arose, came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Friend, I want you to know something took place that day that mankind could not stop. Amen. But this was the only event that could change the Old Testament economy from man having to have an earthly priest to go in to represent him to a holy God. I'm glad, praise God, once in the end, God sent the heavenly priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who entered in one time into the Holy of Holies, not with the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heifers, but with his own blood. Thank God he entered into the holies of all and presented himself a sacrifice with his own blood once for all, thank God. And that ended that Old Testament economy, amen. Oh, listen, so we can see things changed. Why? Because of one event. And what an event that was that day, when the devils no doubt thought it was all over. Boy, the devils and all the enemies of God said, hallelujah, he's dead. It's all over. We've won the victory. But praise be to God, they just didn't know that everything had just got started good. Amen. That death was not the end. It was just the beginning of a new economy. Amen. Praise God. So this morning, as we think about that veil, that veil was rent, the Bible said, from the top to the bottom when Jesus Christ died. Well, I want you to notice this morning why that veil was rent. First of all, the veil was rent because the payment had been presented. Amen. Not a payment, but the payment. Hey, I'm not making payments on my way to heaven. The payment has already been made. And I'm not having to make installments. It wasn't a down payment. And I'm not having to make monthly installments, amen, to get to heaven. He paid it all in full on the cross of Calvary. Just before he died, the Bible said that Jesus cried with a loud voice, "It is finished!" And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Amen. The payment, not a payment, the payment had been made that was all sufficient. And when the payment was made, the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. Amen. Not from the bottom to the top, but from the top to the bottom. You say, what difference does it make? It came from above. Hallelujah. It didn't come from beneath. It came from above. Man didn't have nothing to do with it. God tore the veil that day. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1. For the law having a shadow of good things to come. You see, all the law did was say, there's something better coming. There's something better coming. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, talking about the Old Testament economy, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. In the Old Testament economy, when the veil was intact, every year, all of those sacrifices had to be brought, and all of those sacrifices had to be made for sins. And every year, there was a remembrance again of sin. Every year, for thousands of years. But thanks be to God, Jesus Christ came, and once and for all, he offered the final and supreme sacrifice. When he died on the cross of Calvary, and when he cried, it is finished, God rent the veil to let them know all of that was over and he had paid the debt. Amen. Once and for all, we see it in its fulfillment. The law had a shadow of good things to come, not the very image. Can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. But then he said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Oh, it is fulfillment. We see it in its faultlessness. He said, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Why? Because we are only sanctified by the offering of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Then it's not only its fulfillment, its faultlessness, but its finality once for all. Praise God, he don't have to come back and die no more. We've made reference of it, others have as well. That's the reason we don't have a cross with a Christ hanging on it. He didn't have to do it but one time. Amen. He doesn't have to continually die over and over and over and over again. He paid the debt one time, once for all. Thank God, in full. Amen. The hymn writer said it like this: free from the law, oh happy condition. Jesus has bled and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, grace hath redeemed us once and for all. Praise God. Why was the temple rent? The payment had been presented. Number two, why was it the temple veil rent? The priesthood was perfected. Now, the temple veil was rent that day, not only because that payment had been made, but because the priesthood was perfected. You see, up until this time, I mean right up until Jesus was crucified, the Old Testament economy was still in effect. That's why they were coming there to offer those sacrifices. They were coming to bring a sacrifice. And so every year, the high priest had to go in once a year and offer up a sacrifice for the sins of himself and for the people. It was a shadow, just a shadow of the final one that would be made by the high priest of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 11 said, "And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices." Now notice this, "which never take away sins." In all the Old Testament economy, sins was never taken away. It was only covered. There's a difference between covering it and removing it. But this man, which man? This man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever, listen, them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Let me tell you something. If you go in and study the tabernacle, you'll never find one chair in the Holy of Holies. When that high priest went in that Holy of Holies, never, never could he sit down. Why? His work was never finished. He knew he was going to have to come back again, over and over and over again. He never had opportunity to sit down. Why? His work was never done. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. You say, what difference does it make? That means he doesn't have to do it anymore. When he sat down, that meant, thank God, it was complete. It was finished. The final payment had been made. And thank God, it's over. Hallelujah. And it's forever. Amen. Oh, it's forever. We can see that in its supplier. Every priest standing daily ministering oftentimes the same sacrifices which never, could never take away sin. Those sins, that they were never taken away. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, sat down on the right hand of God in its sacrifice, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I don't know about it this morning, but listen to me. I have been perfected. My soul has been perfected. Now my body is another question. But inside, my soul is saved, sealed, secured in that one sacrifice that he offered forever. And he said, I will not remember their sins or iniquities no more. Every year they had to go back and offer another sacrifice. Every year they had to go back and offer another sacrifice. On and on and on. But thank God when he went to Calvary, he paid the payment in full. And no more sacrifices to be made. Oh my. Why was the veil of the temple rent? The payment was presented, amen. All the priesthood was perfected. Now that's the reason. I'm glad I don't have to go to a church and go in and talk to some fella that wears a dress and never been married and call him father. I don't have to do that. Huh? All that's over and done with. Brother Andrew, we don't need no high priest. Earthly high priest. We don't need somebody. You don't have to wait till you get down here and say, preacher, I need to talk to you. Hey, listen, if you're saved, when the day you got saved, he made us kings and priests. That is the priesthood of the believer. Every believer is his own priest. Amen. Glory to God. I'm glad I don't. Now, I love praying together. I think we're to pray for one another. But I got news for you. I don't have to wait till I get down here to this altar to get into the Holy of Holies. I'm glad God put me in the priesthood when he saved me by his grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, every year they flock to Rome. They want to get a look at the high priest of earth. He ain't got nothing for me. It's a shame and disgrace to bow down before him. Yeah, man. Oh, my. Oh, me. Move on. But you see, the payment was made. The priesthood was perfected. And no longer do we have to. You see, when Jesus came, now he is our mediator. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He's our mediator. I got to close with this. Why was the veil rent? The payment was made. The priesthood was perfected and the pathway was prepared. Now, the pathway to God, Jesus prepared that. Now, how did he do it? Hebrews gives us precise explanation. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren. I like that, don't you? If you're saved, we are the brethren. And he said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Listen to this. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us. Look what he said. Through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God. I got bad news for you. I'm not the high priest over the house of God. Oh, I'm glad I'm not the high priest over the house of God. But there is a high priest over the house of God. His name is Jesus. Amen. Oh, I'm just a church servant. Amen. I'm here to point you to the high priest, the one that can help you in every situation of your life. Thank God he can. Amen. Having a high priest over the house of God, listen, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. The pathway's prepared. Amen. It's avenue. Let us draw near with a true heart. You'll never get to God without being honest with what you are and who you are and what you need. Let us draw near with a true heart, in its acceptance, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And then in its availability, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Does that mean hang on? No, that means be assured. Thank God, don't doubt it. Everything's well with your soul.
Hold on to that truth. Hold on. Hold fast to the truth of all that he has been telling us in Hebrews. We have a high priest.
And when you're saved, he is your high priest. Amen. When the temple veil was rent, it was for an avenue for acceptance. And it's available to all because the pathway was prepared. Christ died so that you and I could have eternal life. And we could be reunited back into fellowship with him, a man that was lost in the Garden of Eden. Listen, the veil of the temple was rent. That veil, it separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Inside that Holy of Holies, that's where God met with the high priest. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was at. That's where those tables of stone, his word, was at. And there God would meet with him. Matter of fact, and I don't have time to go into it, but when those high priests went in once a year, if you'll study their garments, on their garments they had bells on the bottom of their garments. You said, what difference did that make? That let the people outside know he was still able to move around. Because had he entered in unworthily, God would have killed him on the spot. And they tied a rope around him so they could drag him out because they couldn't go in and get him. Are you listening? All of that. I mean, God didn't play. I mean, God is holy. I mean, there was only one that could move into that Holy of Holies. And he had to make sure, he had to offer an offering for himself. He had to make sure his sins were covered before he could go in. And when he went in, he was dressed in the attire of the priest. He had his breastplate on that had the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. He had on that hat. I mean, he had to go in prepared. And that went on for thousands of years. But listen to me. One day, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Amen. And that day that Jesus went to Calvary, up until then, that veil was still in the temple. That Holy of Holies was still off limits. But that day when Jesus was at Calvary, the temple was setting over that way. Jesus was on that hill called Golgotha. And after he had suffered and bled and he was dying, after all the things that had been done, all the six sayings of the Savior on the cross, the final saying, the Bible said he cried, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. And the Bible said the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. Thanks be to God. Can you imagine the first one that went into the temple? Or maybe there was somebody in there. They come running out and said, "Oh Lord, what's going on? The veil has been rent. The veil has been destroyed." Thanks be to God. The earth quaked. Amen. I mean, God shook the earth. I mean, listen, God opened the way. There's only one way. That way is Jesus Christ and no other way. Hallelujah. It's him. And there's only one way. You'll never get into that Holy of Holies without Jesus Christ. You can go to every earthly priest you want to go to. You can talk to everybody you want to. You can be baptized in every creek and baptistry you want to. You can join every church you want to. But there's only one way to the Holy of All. That's through Christ. And being saved by the grace of God. Oh, why was the veil rent? Because the payment was presented. The priesthood was perfected. And thank God the pathway prepared. Now, aren't you glad that you can get into the holies of all? Because we have a high priest in heaven. His name is Jesus. Amen. And today the only way to heaven is through what Christ has done for us on the cross. Father, thank you this morning for the word of God that is powerful. Oh, it's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. God, this morning I pray your word has spoken to hearts. That your word, Lord, today has put an earthquake in their soul. Lord, realize that they could realize today, Lord, that they need Christ. God, may our hearts be stirred and excited for that, Lord, which you have done for us in these days. Lord, thank you for what you've done. God, send revival, stir our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. While we stand this morning, what number, brother? 177 today. Oh, my. I know we're trying to get out here a few minutes early today because of the funeral that's happening, but listen, if we need to stay here a while, that's fine. If you need to get things right with God, that's fine. Oh, but my, won't you come? The veil has been rent. You know, most of the reason why has been rent for you. That you could come to Christ and you could be saved today. We're going to sing one verse. While we sing, won't you make your move for God? If you're here today and you're lost, I invite you to come. Give your heart to Christ. Would you come this morning? To Jesus I render. Him I freely give. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Let's bow our heads just for a moment. Father, God, I do want to thank you today for, Lord, that which you've done for us. Lord, I do thank you today for the precious blood of the Lamb of God that was shed for the remission of our sins. Lord, I am thankful today that there's no more remembrance of those sins. Lord, you said you'd never remember them against us anymore. And Father, may you deal with hearts. May you work in lives today, Father. And God, may your will be done. May you save precious souls. Oh, Father, please. Then, Lord, I pray for this afternoon. Lord, I pray, Lord, for the funeral service. God, I pray for the family. I pray, Lord God, that you would just have your way. Lord, we pray for all this day, the service tonight, Lord, please. Lord, we pray for revival. Oh, God. Oh, God. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? God, meet with us. Stir us, oh, God. Please help us, Lord. Father, everything that's accomplished, we'll give you glory, we'll give you honor, we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We appreciate you being here this morning. And don't forget this afternoon, 2:00, the funeral here for Donna. And if you can, I know that family would appreciate if you could be here and pray for them, amen. Then the service tonight, 6:00, looking forward to a good time. And then tomorrow night, 7:30, Tuesday night, 7:30, Wednesday night, 7:30. And before we turn around and get going good, it'll all be over. And so really pray. Invite folks. Try to get folks to come with you tomorrow night to the meeting. Choir wants you to be here singing each night. And others in our church want you to sing. And so we're just looking forward to a good week. Lord willing, Brother Alan Barker and his wife will be here. And I'm just looking forward to what God has for us. Amen. And so you pray. Pray much. For the services. Amen.